So I'm going to talk about the minor prophets. And there's a reason why they're kind of hard to understand. So one is the beginning. So they're at the end of the Old Testament. That's one of the reasons why they're hard to understand. So they're at the end. So after Malachi starts the New Testament. So Malachi. Anyway, so these are 12 books that are in the Old Testament. So, and they're at the end of the Old Testament. And plus, they start with three chapters that are kind of. So let's just. Here are the 12 here. Anybody not have one of those? So they're at the front. I've got a bunch up here if you need one. So the 12 minor prophets written. So I got the 12 books listed there. So sometimes in Jewish Old Testament, so they're called the 12. So they're called one book, kind of. So, but they start with three chapters. So Hosea is the first one. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. So then you got Nahum, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi. So that's the 12. So one, it starts with three chapters that are hard to understand. So like Hosea starts the first three chapters. He has some kids or something. So people kind of give up right then reading those because they can't understand who the three people are, those three chapters. So basically the first six books. So I have this in five parts, minor prophets in five parts. So you kind of have to understand the history of the Old Testament too. So here are the five parts. So Israel, so you have to figure that Israel was destroyed in 722. So I've got that over here in yellow. So 722, that's a big thing. And Samaria is the capital of Israel. So. And then he destroys Jerusalem in 587. So you kind of have to understand that. And then, so then they went to captivity. Kind of messy there too, so. Because they were supposed to spend 70 years in captivity. So the Assyrians in 722 came down and took Samaria away. So, and that's Israel, the 10 tribes. So you kind of have to understand the history of the Old Testament. So, 722, he destroyed Israel and Samaria. So in 587, he destroyed Jerusalem and Judah. So those are the two big dates you have to remember. And I've got six, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, before 722. So what I'm saying kind of is that the minor prophets are in chronological order. So you can look at the internet all you want, so, but they'll put these guys all over the place. Some of them will say Malachi was written early. Some of them will say it's the last God written down here. So, okay, so 722, he destroyed Israel. And all before that, so Micah, that's kind of one of the tough parts too, is, so some of these talk about, don't talk about Israel and Judah. So, like Obadiah talks about Edom. So, and Jonah talks about Assyria. So, and Nahum, it's the seventh one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seventh one talks about Assyria. And the way I remember that is Nahum goes with Nineveh. So, two ends. So Jonah is before that. And if you read Jonah, he lets the Assyrians go. So, but then he destroys them after the book of Nahum. So, and he destroyed them in 612. I think I got that on this side. So 612 in yellow, I got Nineveh destroyed. So Nahum is before that, three chapters. No date is given in the book of Nahum. So kind of Nahum and Jonah go together. Jonah, he lets them off. Nahum, he destroys them a little later. So 612, he destroyed Nineveh. And that was the Babylonians coming in. So the Babylonians came and destroyed Nineveh. And then they went down and conquered Judah. So, anyway, that's, so one of the difficult things about understanding the minor prophets is you look at the dates and people put them all over the place. Why? I don't know. They do. So, but if you put them in chronological order, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. So those are the guys that talk about Israel being destroyed. So, and Israel is destroyed in 722. So, I got that right there. So. And then Nahum and Nineveh is destroyed in 612. And then you got the two that talk about Judah and Jerusalem being destroyed. So, which are Zephaniah and Habakkuk. So, and then I got Judah destroyed. And then they return from Babylon. And Zechariah and Haggai are kind of the same dates. So 520. And then Malachi is after the rebuilding. So, after the second temple. So Solomon built a temple and it's destroyed in 722 or in 587 by when they destroyed Jerusalem. So they ruined Solomon's temple as well. And then they went to Babylon for 7 years and came back. So, one of the difficult parts of the minor prophets is, so it starts with three chapters that are hard to understand. So, kind of skip those. You got to come back and figure that out. So, four through, and then it's one of the longest books, like 14 chapters. So, it's got like 10 chapters of historical stuff. Hosea does. So the first three chapters are hard to understand. And then 4 through 14 I think that's 11 chapters. So, anyway, that's the book of Hosea. Joel. So, another part that's hard to understand is the difficult passages in the minor prophets. So, like if you read Joel, the book of Joel has a bunch of difficult passages. So you kind of got to put those in order. So, and then another part that's, so one of the things that's hard to understand about the minor prophet is it's at the end of the Old Testament. So the beginning's tough, the first three chapters. It's put at the end of the Old Testament, so people are kind of tired when they get there, so they don't read it. So then another thing is the foreign countries. So some of the books talk about foreign countries. Obadiah, Jonah, Nahum. So that's three out of the 12 that talk about foreign countries. So anyway, that's, and then you have to understand the history. So Zechariah and Haggai, so are after the 7 years captivity. So when they're coming back, Zechariah and Haggai speak. And then only two of these guys talk about Jerusalem being destroyed, Zephaniah and Abigail. So those are about, and then you got the foreign guys, Nineveh's destroyed. So Nahum and Jonah. So basically you got one, two, three, four, five, six, and then 722, which is Israel being destroyed. And two of those are about foreign countries. So Jonah talks about Syria, Micah. Jonah and Obadiah talks about Edom. So those are the two foreign countries. And then after 722, Nahum talks about Nineveh being destroyed. So that's kind of, and I put it in five parts on the minor prophets in five parts. So before 722, and then, so you pretty much have six of them here from pre-722. Nahum is the only prophet in 612. So he talks about Nineveh being destroyed. And you got two talking about Judah being destroyed, 587. And then when they return, then you got two of those, Haggai and Zechariah, that's on the return. And then Malachi's by itself. So anyway, that's kind of, so I thought we would, let's just look at Habakkuk. So it's kind of towards the back. It's only three chapters. It's three chapters. And it's talking about, so it's, I got down here, so it's talking about Jerusalem being destroyed. So, let's look at it. So Habakkuk, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear, even cry out to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. So this is Habakkuk talking to God. And he wants to know why there's so much iniquity in his land. For plunder and violence are before me, strife, contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Verse 5. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told to you. This is God's answer. So, this is Habakkuk's question, 1 through 4. And this is God's answer, verse 5, 1-5. Look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They decide every stronghold. They deride every stronghold. For they heap up earth and mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing his power to his God. Are ye not from everlasting? So this is Habakkuk's prayer to God. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment, O Rock. You have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler of them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net. They gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice to their net and turn incense to their dragnet because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? So first Habakkuk asks him, so how long? And God tells him, I'm going to raise up the Chaldeans, right? And then he says, so Habakkuk asked him back, so why are you going to use the Chaldeans to work to destroy the Judah people? And they're more righteous. So chapter 2, so I will stand on my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. And what I will answer when I am corrected. So the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So he tells him, God tells him to wait. Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, so now we have four woes for the rest, well, for most of the rest of the chapter. Woe to him who increases what is not his, how long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you? And you will become their booty, because you have plundered many nations, and all, and the remnant of the people shall plunder you because of men's blood, and the violence of the land, and the city, and of all who dwell in it. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster, that you gave shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many people, and sin against your soul. For the stone shall cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, and nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drink, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink. And he exposed his uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be in your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of the beasts, which made them afraid because of men's blood, and the violence of the land and the city and all who dwell in it. So, what profit is the image? What that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies. That is, the maker of its mold should trust it to make mute idols. Woe to him. So there's another one. Five woes. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise. It shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let the earth keep silence before him. So basically, the Lord answers, gives five woes that the Babylonians are doing. So they're making idols, they're praising the idols. And then Habakkuk says a prayer. So chapter 3. I don't know where the prayer is. I'm not going to read the whole. So, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigalith. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of years. In the midst of years, make it known. in wrath remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from the Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. So I think maybe Selah? If that's Selah, maybe that's the end of his prayer. So I don't think that anybody knows what Selah means. So his glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like light. He had rays flashing from his hand. And there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth and looked and behold and startled the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed down. His ways are everlasting. I saw tents of Cushan in affliction, the curtains of the land. O Lord, you were displeased with the rivers. Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea? Then you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation. Your bow was made quite ready. Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains you saw you and trembled. Overflowing, the overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice. And it's still this prayer, so. We have another Selah there at the end of verse 9. So you have to read the final chapter. It's prayer, right? So Habakkuk is worried. So anyway, that's about the Chaldeans coming down and taking Jerusalem. So yeah, you have to kind of know the history behind it. And if anybody wants to come forward and have prayers, Larry and his handout has a nice thing in the front page of how to be saved. So if anyone wants to come forward and have prayers, you can while Jared leads us in our song.